You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay first aired on October 3, 2003.
The aftermath of Hurricane Isabel reminds me of other cataclysmic events which provide real substance to the concept of limiting factors. These include tornadoes, torrential downpours, floods, disabling snowstorms, lethal ice storms, droughts, and fiery holocausts. We tend to judge them on damage done, measured against the time period involved. Short but devastating events often get the most attention from the media, and consequently from us. Human suffering is, of course, of prime interest, followed by damage to buildings and infrastructure, that followed by destruction of environment. Usually our yardstick for measuring environmental destruction is more aesthetic than biotic. By the time we get to effects on wildlife, our attention is emotional and fleeting. Press coverage is appropriately meager. It is of some value, I think, to understand that nature applies a different set of standards. As far as I can understand, for instance, nature has no aesthetic stance. Even if the birds and the trees did have a sense of beauty, it would clearly be different from our own. Nature does not seem to value species or individuals. Extinction is only a problem if there is no organism available to fill the niche left by the departed one. In fact, there are no visible value judgments at all in the wild. The aftermath of a storm provides as much opportunity as it does devastation. In 1979, several large beech trees at Baltimore Woods were dying of a fungal disease. A burst of wind from the east sent the largest one crashing to the ground. Over a brief period of years, others followed. Most of us who had known this deepest recess of the woods bemoaned the loss. Tanager, grosbeak, vireo, squirrels, perhaps a dozen other vertebrates had to change their abode. Young saplings that had been depressed by the summer shade began to sprout up. Soon there was an attractive new understory occupied in due time by wood thrush, redstart, and vireo. Meanwhile, the fallen trees were beginning to react to the moist soil of the forest floor to make their own contribution to the future of the forest. A vertical apartment house had relocated and made its accommodations available to myriad ground-loving creatures in the process. There are many such events in nature which seem to us disastrous, through which nature chugs along making adjustments. We often misread these as part of the disaster because it destroys the aesthetics. Beaver ponds are not always viewed as beautiful, but when one is abandoned after the beaver's food supply is used up, the dam is sure to fail. This results in a mudflat, which no one would compare favorably with the pond. Wood duck and mallard are among the first to register their disapproval, followed by any aquatic or amphibious creatures that can find a means of escape. Others, including big fish, aquatic nymphs, and myriads of microscopic life, simply die on the spot. A large environmental disaster? Perhaps, but there are interesting outcomes that will redound well for the future of the site. Exposure to air and sun result in changes in soil chemistry that free up nutrients formerly locked up in insoluble compounds. Lush growths of sedges, reeds, and semi-aquatic weeds appear. After aspen and other beaver food are reestablished, the beaver return and build a new dam. The new pond's attractiveness to wildlife exceeds that of its predecessor because of the spurt in aquatic plant life. Nature, it seems, is too complex to be judged by human standards. Great winds, floods, and droughts do produce chaos, but nature is too dynamic to stand idly by. Adjustments come quickly, and the results, when detectable to us, may far outstrip our meager expectations. It is easy to see the habitat destruction caused by a tornado, but the effects of floods are not as readily evident. One late spring day, nearly four decades ago, a violent thunderstorm delivered both wind and rain in prodigious amounts. Shade trees were uprooted and storm sewers backed up. These events were duly noted by the media. In a nearby wetland, a tragedy occurred which received no press at all. A dozen eager female red-winged blackbirds had located their nest within 6 inches of the water in just recently emerged stalks of burrweed. The wetland was flooded with storm runoff, and the water level rose well above 6 inches. All of the nests were destroyed. In addition, about a dozen black tern nests were also flooded out. Still, before summer was over, the wetland had produced over 5 dozen red-winged blackbird broods and nearly 100 black tern nests. In nature, life goes on, and the post-disaster results bring into question the very premise that it was a disaster at all. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.